He was entranced at the idea. He wanted to start a campaign right away, so he got on the telephone and began making calls. That same night, we held a thinly disguised revival meeting in one of the largest churches in town. The next night we held another meeting, but in a different church, and so on night after night. We never announced until the end of the meeting where the next meeting was going to be. Even so, people were lining up on the sidewalk to hear the visiting Dutchman talk. This was attracting too much attention, and we soon devised the technique of simply stating that there would be a meeting the following night without saying where it would be. Then all the next day people would be on the telephone, passing word along as to where we were to meet. As we sat on the platform, waiting for the service to begin, I would see the pastors searching the faces in the congregation. "They're looking for the secret police," Professor B explained. "We know many of them by sight. After the revolt, it has been dangerous to attract large crowds for any reason." The nervousness and anxiety were contagious, so that halfway through the campaign I, too, began to dream at night of trouble with the police. And then one evening, the police did come. I knew it from the look on Professor B's face. "They're here," he whispered, and I didn't need to ask who they were. He signalled that I was to follow him back into the vestry. Two plainclothesmen were waiting. They asked me a lot of questions, and then they issued a summons for me to appear the following morning, along with Professor B, at headquarters. "The last time this happened," Professor B told me when they had gone, "two men were arrested. They were in prison a long time." After the service, all of the pastors gathered in the vestry to decide what we should do. Professor B suggested that we go to his home and pray. It was the first time I had been to his house. I had forgotten what a prominent place a professor has in the society of Eastern Europe. His home was immense and luxurious, and this was the position he was risking. Professor B introduced me to his son, Janos. I instantly liked him. He had recently married and was doing well as a young attorney, and yet he, too, was willing to place his career on the line by taking part in these frowned-upon meetings of Christians. There were seven of us that night. Seven Christians gathered in much the same way Christians had gathered since the church began, in secret, in trouble, praying together that through the miraculous intervention of God himself we be spared a confrontation with the authorities. We prayed there in the living room of Professor B, all kneeling around a low round coffee table in the centre of the room. For an hour we kept up an earnest intercession, begging God to help us in our time of need. And all at once the praying stopped. To every one of us, at the same instant, came the inexplicable certainty that God had heard, that our prayer was answered,